Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a recording of the Bible message that would normally be shared during the Sunday worship service.
While we are unable to meet together for worship, we will publish our podcasts at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and you can also see daily videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Good morning. Today is Stir Up Sunday. It's a day that tradition dictates we should prepare the Christmas pudding ready for the festive celebrations of Christmas Day in a few weeks' time. This tradition came about by accident because the day itself has got nothing to do with stirring together ingredients to make puddings. The term actually comes from the opening words of the collect or prayer for the day found in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. It says this: "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. This is always the prayer said on the last Sunday before Advent. I'm no cook, but I understand that most recipes for Christmas pudding require it to be cooked well in advance of Christmas, and then it's reheated on Christmas Day. In that way, it will become the most flavoursome pudding it can be. And so when congregations heard this prayer read from the Common Book of Prayer on the Sunday before the first Sunday of Advent, it would act as a reminder to go home and prepare the Christmas puddings. And that's what they did. They took the word "stir up," and it became Stir Up Sunday, and they'd go home and make the Christmas puddings. Preparing to feast was the furthest thing from Paul's mind when writing his second letter to his young protege, Timothy. 2 Timothy finds Paul once again in a Roman prison. Let's read the words, and today I'm actually using the New King James Version of the scripture. And it says this from 2 Timothy chapter 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Amen. Paul had been rearrested as part of Emperor Nero's persecution of Christians. When Paul had been in prison before, he mentions the imprisonment in his other letters. And in those letters, he writes of an expectation that he would soon be released. But when we read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the other chapters throughout this second letter, there's no such expectation expressed in this one. This time was very different. And Paul had no hope whatsoever that he would be released. It certainly doesn't come across that way. Throughout his second letter, there are clues to the conditions that he faces. Chapter 4, he calls out to Timothy asking him to bring a cloak. So he's obviously in a cold cell. In chapter 2, verse 9, he speaks of being in chains. In chapter 4 again, he talks about having no hope of deliverance. And then in chapter 1, he speaks of all of those close to him who've abandoned him for fear of persecution and imminent execution themselves. So you can see the conditions are not great for Paul here in this prison. And so he writes to Timothy, and throughout the letter you get this sense that he's desperate for Timothy to come and see him again for one last visit. And indeed in chapter 4, verses 9 and again in verse 21, he implores him to come soon to see him. You sense as you read the letter that as he writes, Paul is passing the baton on to the young minister in Ephesus. He knows his time's coming to an end, and so it's time to pass the baton on for a new evangelist, a new apostle, to really take on the work. And yet, you also become aware of Paul's concern for his young friend. It seems that Paul may have had reason to fear that Timothy was in danger of weakening spiritually. And this would have been a real concern for Paul because Paul knew that Timothy was needed. He was essential to carrying on his good work for the gospel. Thankfully, even though the conditions in prison were rubbish, Paul had a great deal of confidence despite this present situation. You see, Paul always lived beyond the here and now, and he had an unshakable confidence in his eternal outcome. Listen to the stirring words of verse 12 from this first chapter of the letter. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed to him until that day. Listen to the triumphant words in a few chapters' time in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul had fought the good fight. The finishing line was in sight as far as he was concerned. He kept the faith. He knew there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him by the Lord himself. And yet, it would seem that young Timothy wasn't displaying such confidence himself. The confidence that Paul had wasn't evident in the life of Timothy at this present time. Paul had entrusted the ministry of the gospel to him, and perhaps seeing how Paul had suffered and was suffering for that gospel, perhaps this has made Timothy a bit fearful and timid about fulfilling his responsibilities as he should. And so Paul writes to encourage Timothy, to stir him up a bit. There are different types of stirrers in life, and I'm quite sure you, like me, have met many stirrers throughout your lifetime. I was reading this story of two people who went into a restaurant and ordered their favourite meal. And as the meal came, it was laid on the table before them. It looked beautiful. They had a look at it, smelt the aromas coming off, and then they decided to tuck in and have a taste. The first one immediately exclaimed, "There's too much pepper!" Whereas the second one thought about it, and his response was a lot more gentle. "Oh, I don't know," he said. "I think it just needs a little more salad." There are plenty of people that like stirring up trouble. And it's interesting when you consider how Paul writes this letter, this second letter to Timothy. The manner, the tone is very different to what he could have done. He could have easily written a burnt-edged letter to him, chastising him for his attitude. And in the process, stirring her up a little bit of trouble. But instead, he takes a very, very different approach, a gentle approach that encourages Timothy to embrace once again the attitude that Paul himself has, and to faithfully and courageously encourage him to endure for the cause of the gospel. Listen to the words again. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's a very different tone. I'm quite sure it could have been written in a much harsher way. It could have been much more critical. And yet, this is not how he chose to write it. If you'd have been receiving that, what would you have rather heard? A list of your failings? Or a positive endorsement of what you are and what you can be? And it's the latter that Paul chose to write to Timothy. Timothy was tempted, as even the best of God's saints sometimes are, to pull back from God's call, to neglect the precious gift of ministry that God had entrusted to him. Timothy had grown fearful of what that ministry might cost him, and so he began to neglect it. His zeal for it began to grow cold. And Paul was encouraging him to not let that happen. It was Timothy's responsibility to stir it up, to rekindle it. And these are the words that Paul uses. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Timothy's not on his own, is he, really? I know that experience of being in that place too. Any one of us can fall into an attitude of indifference about our relationship with the Lord Jesus. At times our zeal for doing the work of the Lord and being an effective follower of Christ needs to be stirred up. The fire needs to be rekindled. There are times when opposition to our work can sometimes be strong. And actually, that negativity, that pain that it causes, can sometimes distract us. There are times when the work itself can be hard, when we find ourselves at the end of our hoarded resources and we're shattered and it's really difficult. We can become easily distracted with worldly concerns. The things that bother us of this world can come to the fore. And certainly during this year, many of the worldly concerns of the world, the things that worry us of the world, have come very much to the fore, haven't they? We can neglect our own relationship with God, and we can simply not take care of our soul. And that's so easy to do. We just drift away. We fall out of the habits of pursuing our devotions, of spending quality time with the Lord, and we neglect our relationship with him. Or for various reasons, we can lose our zeal for ministry. We can fail to keep our eyes on the rewards that the Lord promises for our service. These are heavenly rewards. These are divine blessings. They're not things that the human form will give to us. They are things that God gives to us. All of these things can affect our zeal for doing the work of the Lord, for being an effective follower of Christ. And so we need to be stirred up afresh. You know, I think it's a timely prayer to make on the Sunday before Advent. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. It's a busy time, is Advent. Lots of work to do, many opportunities to tell the simple story of God's redemptive plan through the birth of a baby in Bethlehem. I want to be going into this time in the right frame of mind. It's one of those times of year that rather than waiting in hope and joy, as we are encouraged to do during Advent, we dread it, we wish it gone. It's a busy time, it's the most demanding time, it brings pressures on us. You know, in the terms of a certain fictional secret agent, this period of December and Advent can leave us shaken rather than stirred. Today, let's take our inspiration from part of Paul's message to Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what Paul tells Timothy in verse 7. We need never be timid about our service for the Lord because it's not a work that's done in human power. Power speaks of the means in which we do our ministry, and love speaks of its motivation. We're also given a spirit, according to Paul, that is characterised by a sound mind. And that suggests a frame of mind that is calm and patient in ministry, doesn't panic when things go wrong, doesn't act in an emotionally out of control kind of way. It sees things as they really are and enables us to react to the situations we face just as Jesus would. I don't want to be shaken. I want to be stirred. Stirred by the Spirit of God in the right way. And today is Stir Up Sunday. It's based upon a little prayer. And if you look at the original Latin, the phrase begins exciter. And I'm guessing that's where we get our English word excited from. Well, I want to be different. I want to be truly committed to follow Jesus. I want to be truly on fire for him. Do you? Well, perhaps that little prayer on Stir Up Sunday is the best thing we can utter today. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. Charles Wesley's beautiful old song, O Thou Who Camest From Above, which we find in our own songbook, is an apt prayer to help us to stir up within us the grace of God, the Spirit of God. And Charles Wesley writes these words in his song. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. May we stir up the gift of God within us as we just spend a few moments in reflection as we listen to the ISB playing that beautiful little tune of Hereford, which is the tune we normally associate with that Wesley song. And as you sit back, you might want to look at the words of the song as you do. Just allow the Lord to stir you up on this Stir Up Sunday. Amen. Thank you. stir my heart afresh today, that I may love and serve you and dare to live a life of faith, no matter what. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.